that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love. If a pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter in summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table and a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed.
A mother and father, nurtured and raised, sisters and brothers, memories made.
Our pastor to lead us, his altar to pray, stripes that can heal, the blood that still saves. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth, where the flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in a harbor, as liberty calls. All gave some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
That's a great song. Thank you very much. I hope that touched your heart this morning. We have been blessed. All right, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I'll give you a moment to find that. That's not the Gospel of John. That is the first epistle of John toward the end of your New Testament. You find the book of Revelation, go back to your left, and you'll come to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we're going to chapter 3 today. Give me a moment to find that. If you found it and you're able to stand, then let's stand together in honor of God's word. And we'll look at the first four verses. So please follow along as I read them to the first three verses, in this chapter. Verse number 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, the title of the message won't make any sense until we get to the end of the message. But I want to give it to you now. And the title is Using Now in Light of Then. Using Now in Light of Then. Father, would you please help us today? Thank you for the good music today, the choir, the congregational singing, and now the special. And how music can be used to prepare our hearts for the preaching of your word. And so, God, I pray that our hearts are ready. If they're not, I pray that we take this moment right now, this moment in time, to just ask you to prepare our hearts, to help us, Lord, to be in a condition to receive your word this morning. And I pray that it would fall on good ground and bring forth fruit in our lives. Help me and help us all. Help me as I speak and us all as we listen, and may every one of us know the fullness of the Holy Spirit's blessing on this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Most of us enjoy many different relationships in this life. If you'll allow me to speak personally for just a moment, these are the relationships, not in their entirety, but a lot of them that I am blessed to enjoy. I'm blessed to be a husband. I'm blessed to be a dad. I'm blessed to be a granddad. I'm blessed to be a son. I'm blessed to be a brother and a brother-in-law. I'm blessed to be a nephew, a cousin, and an uncle. I'm blessed to be a pastor, and I'm blessed to be a friend. Now, you could probably plug your name in several of those places as well. Those are all wonderful relationships that we enjoy. But there is one relationship. If you're a child of God, there's one relationship that stands out head and shoulders above the others. I am blessed to be a child of God. Now listen, one of the greatest assurances that God loves us is that he has received us as his children. That's what verse number 1 says. Look at it. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What a blessing. What privilege, what joy, what thrill. And that's one of the greatest assurances that God loves us, is he has received us as his children. The songwriter P.P. Bliss, a great songwriter, he wrote this, children of God, oh glorious calling. You couldn't call us anything that would top being called a child of God. You couldn't call me anything in the world, even all the good things in the world, that can beat that one, to be called a child of God. Because, according to Scripture, not everyone is a child of God. I think you know that. Now, the liberal line is that, oh, we are all the children of God. Sounds nice, but it's not found in the Bible. It's not found in the Bible. Our first birth does not make us a child of God. The second birth does. Our first birth was physical, placing us in the family of Adam. Our second birth was spiritual, placing us in the family of God. And let me stop just for a second and say, if you have never experienced the second birth, that's a biblical term. It's used in John chapter 3. Jesus talking to a very religious man. Religious man. This man is not, you know, he's not a gangbanger. He's not on dope. He's not living promiscuously. He is a religious man, dotting every I, crossing every T in the Old Testament law. And Jesus told him, not Peter, not Matthew, not John, Jesus told him, if you're not born again, you're not going to see or enter heaven. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. So if you don't know that you've been born again, you know, Brother Brent gave that testimony, and it amazes me, and yet it doesn't. That the son of a Protestant preacher, right, had never been confronted with the gospel. I don't know the person, so I'm just saying, you know, you would think that a Protestant preacher would preach the gospel. But not everybody does. People go to church for years. Years. And never hear that you must be born again. Never hear that. And the only way to be born again is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the gospel. And the power of there's power in the gospel. Enough power to birth us into the family of God. That is a faith birth. That's a birth by grace. You can't earn it. But you have to admit and confess that you're a sinner. That shouldn't be hard to do. Shouldn't be. I'm not trying to insult you, but that shouldn't be hard to do. Okay? You're a sinner. Nobody taught you how to lie. Nobody taught you how to disobey. You did all that by nature, because that's your nature at birth. We're sinners. And the price of sin is eternal separation from God forever in the place called hell. That's what Romans says, the wages of sin is death. That's not a good thing, folks. It's a horrible thing. But God didn't leave us hanging there. He sent his son Jesus to die. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was buried. 3 days later, he walked out of that tomb alive. Okay? And you have to come to the place where you confess to God, I'm a sinner, and I can't get myself to heaven. All I can do is take what you've done for me and receive it. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. If you've never been saved, you don't have a second birth, if you don't know that for sure, you know, you came to a good place. We're not a perfect place, but we believe the gospel, because this book is all about the gospel, okay? All about it. And if you're not sure that you're saved, let me tell you, at the end of the service this morning, we're not talking about becoming a member of Faith Baptist. We're not talking about making you a Baptist. We're not talking about taking your money. But if you're not sure that you've been born again, Jesus said you must be. Marvel not. That first birth is not enough. Yeah, but I go to church. Not enough. Yeah, but I say prayers. Not enough. Yeah, but I try to do good. Not enough. If you're not sure that you're saved, at the end of the service, we have men that can take a man or a boy and show the Bible how to be saved. Ladies, they can do the same thing for ladies and girls. Now, you need to think about that, okay? Thank God for his love that's bestowed upon us, that when we come to him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he receives us as his children. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that our cupboards are full. That's not what it says. That our vehicles are nice. That's not what it says. That our houses are big. That's not what it says. Behold, what manner of love he hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called a child of God, the Son of God. What great assurance. If being a child of God in this life is all we get out of the second birth, it would still be the best thing that could happen to us. Verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That means right now we have the blessed privilege of being called the children of God. Now we have his spirit dwelling in us. Now, I almost preached on this today, chapter 2, now we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have a book given to us by the very breath of God. Now we have a church that is the pillar and ground of the truth that we can attend and in which we can serve. Now our salvation is secure and eternal. Now we have the sufficient grace of God and on I could go. Now, it is a blessing to be called a child of God. Right now, this moment, if you're saved, there's no greater blessing, none, than being called a child of God. None. But that's not all that we enjoy as a child of God, not just that God's love received us as his children. We're going to be even more blessed because there is something in our future that's absolutely wonderful. That is, we're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, what we are going to be has not appeared yet. Look at verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. If you're born again, you're his child. Okay? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What we shall be has not appeared yet. That's coming. We don't know it. We that's not appeared yet. But there are some things we know about that time now. Look at verse number 2. I'll show them to you. Number 1, we know Jesus shall appear. Look at verse 2. But we know that when he shall appear. John said we know this. We don't guess. We don't wish. We don't, we know. Now, I like the absolute of knowing. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know. I've knocked on too many doors in this area asking people, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven someday when you die? I don't think anybody can know that. Excuse me. God said, you can know it. Okay? I like the absolute of know. Jesus is going to appear, and his appearance will be in the clouds where he will stop and snatch his children away. It's called the rapture, snatching away. This is different than Jesus coming the second time to the earth. That will happen at the end of the tribulation period. The armies of the Antichrist will be gathered against Israel. And by the way, I'm not making predictions. I'm not saying this is the beginning of it. But folks, if it's not apparent to you to see how easy the armies of this world would come against Israel, then your head's in the sand. Even in our own country, thousands are marching and protesting against Israel. Now, at the end of the tribulation, the whole world is going to come against Israel, and Jesus is going to come to rescue Israel. And he's going to defeat the armies of the Antichrist with the word of his mouth. There won't be any need for a nuclear bomb because they can't make a bomb more powerful than the word of his mouth. Say, so what's he going to say? I don't know. Vamos? I don't know. But with the word of his mouth, he's going to defeat them. Then his feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to walk through the eastern gate to sit on the throne and reign for 1,000 years. You say, Pastor, that sounds like Star Wars stuff. Call it what you want it. It's in this book. It's in this book. But 7 years before that, 7 years before he comes and defeats the armies that are gathered against Israel at the great battle of Armageddon, 7 years before he sits on the throne to rule and reign, 7 years before that, he's not coming to the earth. He's going to appear. His appearance is different than his return. You got it? Now, both the return and the appearance are part of the second coming. People talk about the second coming of Christ. You got the appearance, and then you've got the return, 7 years apart. John is writing about his appearing. He's not writing about the return. He's writing about his appearing. And Peter tells us that the scoffers have raged and laughed for years, making fun of those who believe what the Bible says about Jesus appearing. Those scoffers will continue to do that, but their laughter is hollow. Their laughter is empty. Jesus shall appear. Dispute it all you want to, he shall appear. Refute it all you want to, he shall appear. Laugh at it all you want to, he shall appear. Mock us, call us crackpots, call us simpletons, call us ignorant. Let people call us whatever they want to. They cannot stop. They cannot even pause his appearing with their scoffing. He shall appear. Years ago, down in the swampy area in Florida, there was a little boy named Red. They called him Red. And he came to the church there in the Sunday school bus on Sunday. And he loved church so much that the pastor would go out on Wednesday nights and drive out to his house in the swampy area there where he lived and pick him up for Wednesday night church. And the little boy's dad was unsaved. He was not a born-again man at all. And he didn't care anything about church. And one night, it was a horrible, horrible Wednesday night storm. The rain, the wind, I mean, it was almost coming down sideways. And the little boy just stood at the front door and just was looking and looking and looking for those headlights. And there was no headlights. And his daddy laughed at him. Son, that he ain't coming for you tonight. And the little boy, little Red, said, oh, he's coming. He's coming. And he stayed there at the door. Wait, it got later than usual. Hey, boy, I'm telling you, he ain't coming. He ain't coming tonight. Look at it. It's rainy, it's windy. And the little boy kept saying, he's coming, he's coming. And pretty soon, through the rain, the wind blowing it sideways, here came those headlights down that long lane. And Red started jumping up and down saying, he's coming, he's coming. And he started out the screen door and then he stopped and said, I told you he was coming. And I tell you what, he's coming. Say what you want to. Think it's a fairy tale. You're going to be real surprised when you find it's no fairy tale. He shall appear. We know that Jesus shall appear. That's what we know. Now, it doth not yet appear what it shall be. But we know this. We're not sure about what all has, but we know he shall appear. Number two, we know we shall be like Jesus. Right there in the text. Like it says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now, if the scoffers understood what we know we will be like when Jesus comes, that might rattle their cage more than the fact that we know he's coming. Because we know that when he comes, we're going to be like him. Now, remember, it's a great thing now to be called a son of God. But what we are now is nothing compared to what we're going to be. We're going to be like Jesus. That is, we'll receive a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned last week what Paul said to the Philippian church there in Philippians chapter, I believe it's chapter 2, where Jesus will, quote, change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. No more curse of sin to haunt us physically. No more curse of sin to taunt us spiritually. No more battle against temptation. No more wicked flesh. Changed. Changed. Now, like what Paul said. He said, like unto his glorious body. We're not going to be some spirit floating around in the sky. No. We're going to be like him. After Jesus' resurrection, he was visible. You could see. After Jesus' resurrection, he ate some food. Isn't it good to know that in a glorified body, we'll still eat? Amen. And there will be no cholesterol to worry about. No calories to worry about. You ever get mad at yourself? I'm mad at myself right now. I have not been careful. And here we are going into Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I have decided I ain't worrying about it. Thanksgiving and Christmas only comes around once a year. So I'm going to enjoy it. And then comes January. He ate, in his glorified body, he ate food. In his glorified body, he was touchable. In his glorified body, he cooked bread and fish on the fire. In his glorified body, he walked. Doesn't sound like a spirit floating around in the atmosphere of heaven to me. He was in a glorified body. What a change that will be for all saved people. We know Jesus shall appear. We know we shall be like Jesus. That's what we know. That's what we know. Hasn't happened yet. Hadn't happened yet. But we know it's coming. Then number three. We know we shall see Jesus. The end of verse number two. We shall see him as he is. Not like that. I've been thinking about that a little bit. We shall see Jesus just as he is. I don't know if there's anybody who sees me just as I am. There's probably nobody that sees you just as you are. We're going to see Jesus just as he is. There's no need for him to hide anything because there's nothing to hide. Nothing to hide. He is holy. He's pure. He is the Son of God, declared to be so with power by the resurrection from the dead. He is the light. He is the door. He is the life, the bright and morning star. He is the living bread, the living water. He is the lily of the valley. Actually, he's the lily of the valleys, plural. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. So how can one person be all of those things? He's Jesus. And we're going to see him as he is. And when we see Jesus, we will see him eye to eye. And he will see us the same. That's an unimaginable moment in time. In our wildest imaginations, we have no idea what that moment will be like. But we're going to see him. The choir sings that beautiful song every now and again. We shall see Jesus just as he is. Why? We talk about that, but let that run around your mind for a little bit. We're going to see him. What wonderful love God has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. And because we are, we know Jesus shall appear. We know we shall be like Jesus. And we know we shall see Jesus. Now that's shouting ground, isn't it? Amen. Then there's one more thought. Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, what's he talking about? Verse 2. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. We're going to see Jesus as he is. And Jesus sees us now as we are. We may know that to be true, but I tell you what, I'm afraid a lot of Christians don't live like that's true. Nobody in this life, I mentioned, can see us as we really are. They can only see what's visible to the naked eye. People who, they can know us better as they spend time with us and They watch us go through the circumstances of life and watch our responses and our reactions, but nobody really sees us as we are, right? And I'm not sure any of us want others to see us as we are. Now, this is a blast from the past. But do you remember Sammy Sosa? He was a player for the Chicago Cubs. Hitting those home runs. Pow, pow. Before they found out he was using performance-enhancing drugs, he was in a baseball game, and I can't remember where it was. Pow, hitting those home runs. He is at the plate. He swings the bat. And like you see happen so many times in today's Major League Baseball games, the bat breaks. Flies apart. And what happens is cork falls onto the infield. It's okay, nothing to see here. Don't worry about it. Here, you're good. He had corked his bat. For if you don't understand, a corked bat gives it more, whatever you want to call it, power. It's illegal. It's against the rules. He was cheating. And at that moment in time, everybody saw Sammy Sosa for who he was. A cheater. Now, people, if we know we're a child of God, and we know Jesus will appear, and we know we're going to be like him, we're going to see him and be like him, then now is the time to get the cork out of our bats. Now is the time to allow the Spirit of God to make us as he is and as we will be. Now is the time to allow the Spirit of God to make us pure, to make us holy, to make us clean. You know what is a total contradiction? It's a total contradiction for us to say that we know all three of those truths. We know that he's going to appear and that we're going to be like him, that we're going to see him as he is and be just like him in a glorified body. It's a contradiction to say that we know all of those truths and yet live as none of them will happen. You said, boy, I was really enjoying this sermon until you got to this. You kind of were tickling my toes, but now you're meddling. I know it's terrible, but I've been meddled with. See, I was sitting in a place where I could read my Bible and really just be quiet and think about it. Where was that? The deer stand. Maybe that's why I don't kill any deer. I'm reading 1 John chapter 3, actually 1, 2, and 3, and I get to these verses and I think, oh man. Oh. Look what John wrote. Every man that hath this hope in him, I think that means Christ, purifieth himself, even as he, Christ, is pure. I believe he's going to appear. I believe I shall be like him. I believe I shall see him as he is. It's real, people. It's real. Now is the time to use this time. Use it now in light of those things happening to make us as close as possible to what we're going to become. Does that make sense to you? We're going to become like him. So from the time that a person gets saved until the time that Jesus appears, we should be involved in this process that the Bible calls sanctification. That's a word, big word, that means set apart. It's twofold. We're set apart from the world unto God. And my life should be changing to become more and more like what I'm going to be. What are you going to be if you're saved? You're going to be like him. That'll be a wonderful thing, but let me ask you a question. As far as other people go, we have a whole lot better opportunity to help somebody here than we will be up there, than we'll have up there. So why not become more and more like Jesus now? Why not use the now in light of then? Does that make sense to you? Use the now in light of then. Because of what's going to happen then, now, I want to ask God to cleanse my mind. Because I'm going to have a totally clean mind then. So I need to be asking God's help to make me more with a clean mind now because of what I'm going to be then. I need to get the cork of gossip out of my bat. I need to get the cork of criticism out of my bat. I need to get the cork of bitterness out now. And I think it's interesting language that he says, every man that hath this hope in Christ, in him, purifieth himself. We understand we don't do that ourselves. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But people, this is hard to comprehend fully, but for the Holy Spirit to make me more now, like I will be then, he has to have my cooperation. If I'm not open to him, if I'm closed-minded, you know, it's amazing to me. You show people in black and white the scripture, what the Bible says. And it's like, so what? I don't care. And we don't say that, but we live that. Using now in light of then. Can I say this morning, I'm closing, each one of us bears a personal responsibility to make sure that we are becoming at least close to what we will be. And as we live in anticipation of the day that we will see him, are we giving any thought to that responsibility? Because, you know, there's a whole lot of God's people right now, thinking, yeah, Jesus may come. Look at what's happening in the world. He might. If he is, I don't want to be caught like John said at the end of chapter 2. Do you have your Bible there? Look at John 2, 1 John 2. Look at verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in him that when he what? Shall appear. We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's interesting. We'll never be here exactly what we're going to be like when we become like him. But we can at least allow the Holy Spirit to take us that direction. And if we're at least going this direction and poof, he appears, least we won't be ashamed. I've said often through the years, I haven't said it for a long time, I'm done. But I'm convinced that this Bible teaches your direction is far more important than your distance. Because some people get saved, you know, at 21, 23, 14, 12, and they take off, man. And they start obeying Scripture, and the Spirit of God starts changing them, and they go a great distance, Brother Allen. But then their heart gets cold. Their heart gets cold. And here's a guy, he just got saved. He's only taken 3 or 4 baby steps in his Christian life. And when Jesus appears, he's going that direction. And the guy that's been saved for 40 years is going that one. So who's going to be ashamed? Look, folks, I'm not trying to be a downer this morning. But in light of all that's going on in the world, people are like, wow, Mr. Trump, you think Jesus is making a lot of internet preaching right now? And I'm not again, fine. A lot of internet preaching right now in the World War III and Ezekiel 37, 38, and 30. That's all good. Can I tell you that's all happened before? Okay. But it's all lined up. It's all lined up. So very really, what verse 2 talks about could happen. So I'm saying to our church this morning, hey, let's get the cork out. You know, he knows it's there. It's not like we're hiding it from Christ. It's not like Christ is going to go, oh. No. Let's get it out. Let's allow the Spirit of God to mold us and move us and make us more like Jesus. Now. In light of what we will be then. That's a good thing, isn't it? Amen. That's a good thing. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll take the message this morning and use it in our hearts. We need your help. None of us, just like the Apostle Paul said, he had not apprehended. He hadn't arrived. None of us as children of God have arrived. We got a lot of things that need to be fixed. So, Lord, in light of all of that, would you please help us? In light of all these wonderful truths about your coming and what we shall be, help us to get the cork out of the bat now. Allow the Spirit of God to do his work in our hearts. Please, Lord, I pray for our own good and for your cause here on earth, that you'll help us to be more like Christ now. In light of what we will be then. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who would say, Pastor, you know, along the lines of the message, the Spirit of God kind of worked on my heart. There's some cork I need to get out of the bat. I need to get some things fixed, really, in light of those things. I'm talking about some things that need to be right. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning? You know it's true. Yes. Amen. All right. Now, listen, it's easy to raise a hand. It's something entirely different to plan to go home and ask the Spirit of God to implement his power to change me. Change me. Can you remember the last time that the Spirit of God changed something about you? I mean, changed something about you. Well, now's the time to let that happen. Now, the second question, listen carefully, because it was in the fore part of the message. I don't want you to forget it. Maybe some are never born again, never been, or you don't know it. You're not sure. You say, Brother Angel, I am not sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I do not know that. If that's you, would you be honest before God this morning and just slip your hand in the air where I can see it? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I am not sure. I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Anybody like that today? Upstairs, downstairs, side to side, front to back. You say, well, just members are here. Well, you know, yeah. If you're not born again, now's the time. If you've been saved and not baptized, now's the time to obey Christ. Just obey him before he comes, before he appears. any decision that you need to make concerning something in the life that needs to be cared for, make it now. Father, I pray that you'd help us to have a tender heart to allow your Spirit to mold us and break us and make us into the image of Christ. We're predestined to that someday when Jesus comes and appears in the sky. We're going to be made like him. But why not now become more and more like Christ in light of then? So help us, Lord, make some changes. Help us to get things fixed. Get some things out. Put some things in that please you. That's I ask in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And you obey the Lord this morning. Be changed about what people do, say. And let's let God work on us now. Now, in light of then. In light of then.